going to read the very first psalm together. And it starts with the word blessed. That word means happy. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth, and this is what you heard, and that you at, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. May the Lord bless the public reading of his own precious and inspired and infallible word to our hearts this morning. Remember us, Lord, now as we come to consider thy word together. Open our hearts and make them receptive unto thy truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The believer and the Bible. And before I embark upon the message itself, let me make it clear that the believer is one who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusts in him as his own and personal Savior. That person, that individual, that man, that woman has a saving, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thinking about a well-known man some time back. He used to do outstanding feats of derring do, as they would say, and he made it public that he would cross Niagara Falls on a high wire. And he made it public to many, many people. And on the day that was set, he was there, ready to cross that high wire over the Niagara Falls. Crowds of people were gathered on the one side of Niagara, and crowds were gathered on the other side to see this amazing feat. If you go to Niagara Falls today, they've got different things going on, cable cars going across it. But this man was going to walk across on a high wire. And as the crowds gathered, he said to them, not only am I going to walk across this high wire, at the same time, I'm going to push a wheelbarrow across. And there was a gasp. But that's what he was there to do. And he gingerly put the wheelbarrow on the wire, stabilized it a bit, and then gingerly stepped on the wire himself. And the crowd looked on in amazement as he set off to go across those falls. Quite a distance, I'm not just sure just how long it was, but the Niagara Falls is in a horseshoe shape. And as he went across the falls, pushing the wheelbarrow, the people were looking intently. The people watched with bated breath. And eventually, marvelously, he got to the other side with the wheelbarrow put off and then himself stepping off. And a great cheer erupted from the people that had gathered. He said to them, "Do you think I could go across again? Do you think I could go back over with the barrow?" And they said, "Yes, you've done it once. We think you can do it again." And amid the crowd, he singled out an individual at the front and he said, "Do you, sir, think that I could go across again?" "Yes, yes, surely. You can. You can." And he said to him, "Well, if you really believe that, jump into the wheelbarrow." Well, the man understandably hesitated, but the point is this: his belief wasn't of the nature that he was ready to commit himself to the care and keeping of that man who pushed the wheelbarrow across. And you know, there's many people like that with regard to the Lord. They know about him. They can tell you certain things about the gospel. But those who are true believers have committed themselves to Christ. They have put themselves in his care, in his hands, in his keeping. And I want us to look this morning from this little psalm about the believer and the Bible. And you will notice in the first place the believer's separation. He or she is a person that doesn't swim with the stream, that doesn't go with the grain, that doesn't follow the crowds. Look at what the psalm says, verse 1. "And if you and I were able to read these words in the original language, we would read them like this: Oh, the happiness. That's what the word blessed means. And don't, folks, let the devil deceive you into thinking that happiness and holiness are incompatible. That's not what the Bible in general teaches, and that's not what this psalm in particular sets forth. Here is the psalm of the happy man. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Do you see that? There's things he doesn't do. There are ways he doesn't go. He stands out, or she stands out. The believer is separate from others. Now, not in a bad way. There are some people separate themselves. I was reading just yesterday of someone who was told to get out of her seat on a plane flying from Israel, I think it was to London. And it was because those that were sitting next to her were ultra-Orthodox Jews. And they didn't want females sitting beside them. It's amazing. I wonder how they were brought into the world, but there you are. But that sort of separation is an enforced thing. The separation that's referred to here, it's not that at all. I'm sure you have heard testimonies of people who have worked with Christians. I know there's a Christian that was in the place where I worked, and I could say of that person, there's something about her. She wasn't witnessing all the time in the sense of pushing verses onto you. There was something about her. And you have maybe heard people giving their testimony and them saying, there was just something about that man, there was just something about that woman that was different. And here you have it. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He stands not in the way of sinners. And he sits not in the seat of the scornful. Here's a man who is guided by the book. Here's a man who loves the Lord and his word. And that sets him apart. That makes the difference. Oh, he's not ostracizing himself or having nothing to do with other people. When it says that the Lord Jesus was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners, it doesn't mean that he didn't communicate with them. In fact, his enemies called him the friend of sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ moved among them. He was at home among people. And of course, he spoke to them truths that they needed to hear. Well, this is what this person is. There's a separation. And it comes as a result of reading and heeding the Word of God. You'll notice in the second place the believer's satisfaction. Notice what it says in the next verse. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now at the beginning of the psalm it talks about his happiness. Blessed or happy is the man. And here in the second verse it talks about his joy. His delight. He delights in the law of the Lord. I notice what it says further in this verse. In his law doth he meditate. Think of that word, meditate. The law of the Lord here is a reference not merely to the Ten Commandments, that's part of it. The law of the Lord here is a reference to the written revelation of God, which the psalmist would have possessed. The written word of God. And he meditated upon it. He took it to heart. He applied it to himself. He turned it over in his mind. He considered it deeply. When I was first saved, I used to carry a Bible about with me everywhere I went. Doesn't matter, just wasn't a Sunday. If I was going down the road to shop for something, I would have had my Bible and I would have held it in my hand. Openly so. For I felt that if I kept the Bible in my hand, it would keep me from doing things that I shouldn't be doing, that I ought not to do as a Christian. I essentially, well, there's nothing much wrong with that, but I did learn and I did begin to understand that it's not a matter of holding the Bible in your hand, it's hiding it in your heart. Thy word, in a later psalm we read, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Well, this is what this man in Psalm 1 does. He hides it in his heart. He thinks about it. He meditates upon it. And notice, in his law doth he meditate day and night. You'll know the daytime is the time of business. It's the time of activity. And here is a man who takes the word of God with him and applies it to his daytime activities. Whatever he's about, he's a man who wants to be governed by God's word. He meditates upon it not only in the daytime, but also in the night time. And you will know that the daytime is the time of activity, but the night time is the time when you rest and relax. And again, he finds his rest in the Word of God. And you'll also know that if you have difficulties, if you have problems, at night time they become even more difficult. The problems become even more problematic. And later on in the psalm, the psalmist talks about those who long for the day. My, if you have trials, if you have a pain, you know the trial is even more burdensome at night. You know the pain is even more painful at night. Well, here's a man. Whether it's day, whether it's night, here's a person, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the evening, he has the word of God as his constant companion. He thinks about it. He turns it over in his mind. He applies it to his circumstances. In short, the believer is a person who builds his life or her life upon the Word of God. He loves, she loves the Word of God. He's satisfied with it. He delights in it. He doesn't need to run with the crowd. He doesn't need to swim with the stream. He finds his joy and his happiness in the Word. You will notice not only his separation and his satisfaction. Look at verse 3. You'll notice his steadfastness. Excuse me, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's a description of the believer. The believer becomes strong. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might when he or she reads, applies, inwardly digests, loves, and meditates upon day by day, night by night, the Word of God. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Where I lived in Limavady, the avenue, there's some beautiful trees in that avenue. They were there long before I came. They'd be there long after I have left. There have been some very warm summers. Some. And there have been some very cold winters. But those trees have remained there. Steadfast. Their leaves didn't wither. They are there through the storm. They still are there through the sun. I can remember one year, very cold winter, not so very long ago. And it went till about minus 15 degrees. Yes, minus 15. And I had some palm trees in a heather bed in front of where I lived. And they withered. Of course, the palm tree has a trunk that's water-based. And that's why they withered. But those trees in the avenue stood firm. Through the heat of summers, through the dark, dismal, foggy, freezing nights of the winters, they stood firm. Why? Because they were planted. They were planted. Think about the word planted. And that means there's roots going down under the ground. You can't see them, I can't see them. But those roots go down under the ground, seeking out moisture, seeking out the nutriment of the soil. And as those trees did that for years and years, all that unseen activity contributed to their steadfastness. And it's the same with the believer. There's a secret part of the believer's life. When he gets alone with the Lord, when he gets into the closet, when he lets the Word speak to him, when he meditates upon the law of the Lord, when he looks at it and takes it and applies it to his own life, to her own life. It's through that process they become strong and steadfastness. They're like trees planted by the rivers of water. You'll notice something else about the believer. Not only the steadfastness of the believer, but the success of the believer. It says in verse 3, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's the word prosper. Now, it's not necessarily a material prosperity that may come, it may not come. It's not even necessarily a physical prosperity that may or may not be the believer's experience. The prosperity here is a spiritual prosperity. And the Lord in the Gospels talks about true riches. And here is a person who never changes. His leaf doesn't wither. His leaf doesn't wither. Here's a person who's always there that can be relied upon. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's there one day. He's there the next day. He's there one month. He's there the next month. He's there one year. And he's still there another year. He is steadfast. He's unmovable. He's strong. And that's what contributes to his prosperity. This person is a person that can be relied upon. A person that's always there. A person that's always showing and manifesting the goodness of the Lord in his life, in her life. You'll notice not only a success, but you'll notice finally the scope of the believer. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice what it says. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now that reinforces what we've said about the true believer. The believer strong, steadfast, unmovable. You can always depend upon the believer. The believer will always be there. But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff. See the contrast, folks. One is strong, firm, steadfast, unmovable. The other is like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There's no stability. Oh, people may say, well, what's the use in reading that old antiquated book? It's not relevant for today. It's not relevant for me. But you'll find that those people have no stability. They have no peace. They have no joy. They have no happiness. They have no delight. All those things we have read that this man is, the ungodly, are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There's a stark contrast. Tree and chaff. And you'll notice something else. It says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Now that doesn't mean he'll not appear in the judgment. The word stand means to be acquitted. To be acquitted. And the day comes when the person who has no time for God's word, has no time for the Lord, who wants to go his own way and do his own thing, there's a day coming when he will give an account. And no matter what the world thinks about him, he'll not be acquitted. He'll not stand in the day of judgment. But you'll notice what it says in the last verse. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You will notice here that there are two ways. There's the way of the ungodly, and there's the way of the righteous. The Lord knew the way of the righteous. In the Bible, the word know sometimes refers to intimate love. Let me give you two quick references. One in Genesis 4, it says that Adam knew Eve and she bare a son. So it's obvious the word knew there is a reference to intimate love. And then in Matthew 7, in Christ's great Sermon on the Mount, he's concluding that sermon with reference to the last judgment. And he says there'll be those on the day of judgment who will say, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. We prophesied in your name. And in spite of their religious activity, the Lord has to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. There's the word again. I never knew you. Now, does that mean the Lord wasn't aware of what these people did and upon which these people were trusting? Doesn't mean that at all. The Lord knows everything about everyone at the one time. At the one time. Doesn't matter who you are. Godly or ungodly. Righteous or unrighteous. But when it says here in this psalm, in the last verse, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Folks, it means something more than just knowing. It means the Lord loves the way of the righteous. And in Psalm 149, we read, the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. So here is another psalm, Psalm 1, that tells us at the beginning, the man delights in the Lord. And at the end of it, we have the Lord delighting in the man. Oh, let me tell you this morning, the Lord loves you. The Lord cares for you. And the Lord is pleased at you living your life according to his word. The Bible tells us how we ought to walk and to please the Lord. Isn't it an amazing and an astounding thing that we can actually bring pleasure? We can bring joy to the heart of the Lord. There was no one more joyful or happier in obeying the word of God than the Lord himself. There's a reference in the Bible to the Lord Jesus Christ where it said of him, I delight to do thy will. He himself delighted in the word and in the will of God. And we ought to be just like him. Do you love the Lord? Do you love his word? Do you read the word? Do you heed the word? Do you meditate upon it? Do you build your life upon it? Is it your constant companion? Day and night. You cannot separate the word of the Lord from the Lord himself. We have the written word. The Lord is the living word. And as we endeavor to live according to his word, the Lord will bless us and presence himself with us. Are you the happy man? Are you the happy woman, that man of perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinner's way? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning.